Please understand that busyness is not a sign of spirituality. I'm going to say that again. Busyness is not a sign of spirituality. My dog is busy when he's chasing his tail, but he's not accomplishing anything. And if he ever caught his tail, it would confuse him. And I think that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're just chasing their tail, but they're not really doing anything. There are a lot of huge churches in America, and I'm not against huge churches, but there are a lot of huge churches that basically they have a lot of people, but if you listen to the message they present, it's not a biblical message. In fact, we live in an age today when it is not enough for you to say, are you a Christian? You understand that? There's a lot of generic Christianity out there. There's a lot of Christianity out there that when people are asked if they are a Christian, they think in their mind, well, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not an atheist, I guess I'm a Christian by default. That is not a biblical Christian. A biblical Christian is someone who has come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior according to the Word of God, not to a church creed, not by a church constitution, but by the Word of God. You got that? And by the way, there's only one way to be saved. There are many paths that lead to the wrong destination, but the only path that leads to eternal life is that path that goes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, I hasten to say this really isn't true when I say it doesn't matter what church you go to. If you're saved, you ought to go to a biblical church, right? Amen. Because there's some out there that just aren't. But I will tell you this, the most important thing you do is you settle it in your heart that you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior according to the Bible, not according to your personal opinion, not according to what you've been taught as a child, and maybe, as Bob said, he was raised a Catholic, but he never heard about the Word of God. He never heard about coming to know Christ as personal Savior. And by the way, let me suggest something to you. You can grow up in a Baptist church and hear the same thing. You understand that? It's not the church, it's the message. And the message has to be in agreement with the Word of God. Now, what this is about here is that, I've lost it. Leave that up there until I tell you to get rid of it. It's back? All right. What we've got here today is this is a picture, this is an illustration of verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whose door is he knocking at? He's knocking at the door of the church. The letter is to the church, a corporate body of believers. He's knocking at the door of the church who basically has expelled him from their fellowship. Now that sounds completely ludicrous that any church would do that. But some do. Some churches can go on with what they're doing and never mention Jesus and never do anything for Jesus, and it won't change anything they're doing. But I will tell you, they're not doing it for his kingdom. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Listen, Jesus is Lord. Not only is he Lord of the universe, he should be Lord of the church, and he should be Lord in the lives of every believer. Jesus is Lord. The church at Laodicea had expelled him. Now, this is what they said, and I'm going to repeat myself here in a moment. They said, this is our opinion of who we are. We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Nevertheless, Jesus said, that's not the truth, because you are actually wretched and naked and poor and blind. Now, you talk about 180 degrees difference in an opinion. The church says, hey, we're all right. We're fine. We're doing great. And Jesus said, no, you're not. And then you have this verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. They had put him on the outside. Do you understand that? Remember the church at Ephesus? Church at Ephesus was busy, bustling, had good doctrine and everything. And Jesus said, you got a problem here because you've left your first love. They were busy. Remember, they were busy. They were even doctrinally pure. But you've left your first love. You know what that is? They forgot why they did it. It's a terrible thing when within a married couple, they lose their first love for each other. from that point in time, they just go through the motion. In fact, from that point in time, they are not that far from being outside the door, just like what happened here with Jesus and the church. Do you understand? Jesus said, I'm standing and I'm knocking and I'm asking you to let me back in. Well, what happened to the church? By the way, this church started the same way that the next church that is mentioned, the previous church, the church at Philadelphia, and Jesus said to them, said, you're doing everything right, and I'm going to give you great opportunities. Started the same way the church at Smyrna did, what it said about church at Smyrna, that even in a time of great persecution, they were being faithful. What happened to this church? Well, I started last week, and I'm going to, or 2 weeks ago, actually, and I'm going to give you three things that happened to the church at Laodicea and why they put Jesus on the outside. And the first thing I told you, remember this? I told you that they had lost their spiritual fire. They had lost their spiritual fire. Do you know what? The older I get, the colder I get. I mean it, the colder I get. I'm looking so forward to this afternoon. It's supposed to be in the 80s. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am so tired of this cold 55 degrees that doesn't feel like 55 degrees. It feels like 35 degrees. And I'm telling you, when it's 55 degrees, I still wear my leather jacket. I hate being cold. Now, this is what Jesus said of this church. He said, because you're not hot or cold. Because you're not hot or cold. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I would rather you be cold than lukewarm. You know why? Just because what I said. When I'm cold, you know what I do? I don't sit around and whine about it. I get up and I get warm. I put something on. It drives me to putting on warmer clothing. But when you're lukewarm, you know what the problem is when you're lukewarm spiritually? Bob, you know. Can you tell me? Well, Bob, your comfort zone, absolutely. There are two things I can always count on Bob for. The answer comfort zone and the misuse of the word redundant. But anyway, those two things Bob is consistent on. I'm telling you, and I love him for it. The comfort zone. He talks about it all the time. And by the way, that is exactly what Jesus is talking about. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're comfortable. And because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now let me suggest some things about this. They had lost, first of all, and I talked about this last time. This is where we left off. They had lost their enthusiasm for prayer. Now I don't think I'm going to go back through that, but I will tell you this right now. In a great way, your spiritual growth is directly connected to your faithfulness to prayer. There are two things. If you're doing it, you will grow. If you're not doing them, you won't grow spiritually. And one of them is prayer. If you're not involved in prayer. Now, I'm not the kind that says, well, you know, I pray 3 hours a day. I don't do anything 3 hours a day. I don't have that long of an attention span. But I will tell you, if you're not attentive to prayer, and you're praying specifically, and there are things that are driving you to prayer, you know, I become a great prayer warrior anytime I am driving on 80 East. Anytime I'm headed toward the city, I'm praying, man, please, God, get me out of this place. There will be problems that will drive you to prayer. But do you know what? If you only have this panic prayer, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, don't you? When I said, yeah, well, oh, dear God, get me out of this mess that I got myself into. That's a panic prayer. If that's all you do, you are not growing in your relationship with God. God wants his children to talk to him. Prayer is our opportunity for a bonding experience with our Heavenly Father. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that until the next time. Second thing they'd lost, they had lost their enthusiasm for the Word of God. We are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Let me, and again, the same thing I said about prayer. If you're not involved in the Word of God on a daily basis, you are not growing spiritually. Thy word have I hid. First memory verse I ever learned as a kid. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I have no idea how many verses that I have in my head that are committed to memory. But I'm gonna tell you something that may surprise you. I have never in my life sat down for the sole purpose of memorizing a verse. The verses that I have memorized that have come to memory of me is because of the frequent times that I have read that passage. It becomes a natural memory verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. If you're not in the Word, you struggle with sin constantly. You're going to struggle with sin constantly anyway. But if you are, and when I say sin, I'm not talking about going out to the bars or anything like that. I'm talking about just you know, being faithful to God, not letting your anger run away with you, not being silly about stuff, and you know, this political correctness. Do you know what it takes to offend some people? You're in the same universe with them. That offends them, you know. Get tough. There's all this thing about measles. I got to be honest. You know, I come from a generation. I'm gonna get a T-shirt, Scott, and probably I can get one for you and most of you guys my age. Says, I survived the measles. Do you know what we called it when I was a kid? A childhood disease, and we all had it, and we all survived it. Isn't that an amazing thing? Huh? Now, where shall I go with this? The Word of God. Let me give you Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding back, and I could not. Do you know, there's another passage where Jeremiah said, his word was made a derision to me every day. You know why? Because when he would preach what God told him to preach, people got mad. And so Jeremiah said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of people getting mad at me when I'm telling the truth. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to talk about you anymore. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of being made fun of. I'm tired of suffering for you. So I'm just not going to talk about you anymore. And then Jeremiah says, but you know what? His word was in my heart like a burning fire. And it made me tired when I tried not to talk about him. That should be the goal of every believer. For the word of God to be a fire within us. You know what happened to Laodicea? Why they pushed Jesus to the outside is because they weren't involved in his word. All Laodicea had at that point in time was basically the Old Testament and some of the early New Testament books that had been finished. And yet, it was no longer important to them. What was important to them was their goods, was their wealth, was the things they possessed, and not the Word of God. They'd lost enthusiasm for the Word of God. They'd lost enthusiasm for souls. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, I think it's exciting to listen to these stories. I think it's exciting to listen to the way God worked in Jennifer's life and brought her around to salvation. I think it's exciting to listen to the things that God did to bring Bob to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Could we talk about your story this morning? Huh? Let me tell you what I found, what I think should be. I think if we know Jesus as our Savior, really know him as our Savior, then when we meet people, the most important thing we learn about them, and we should seek to learn about them, is that do they know Jesus as their Savior? Now I want you to think about this. What's your habit? When you get to know something, when you're making a new friend, how long does it take you to tell them that you are a born-again Christian and you would like to them to have the same thing you've got? Or do you talk about their education? You talk about their favorite TV show? You talk about their car? You know, there have been two shows, and I don't want to show a hands or this or anything, but there have been two TV shows within that last 2 weeks that have ended after a long run. And I will tell you that I've never watched one episode of either one of them, and I don't feel like I've missed a thing. But one of them is The Big Bang Theory. Now, immediately, that's a problem for me because I don't believe in a Big Bang Theory. I believe that we've got a God who made all things. And the other one is Game of Thrones. And I don't know anything about Game of Thrones except what I've read about it. And what I've read about it, it's not a very nice show. But I've been reading what folks are posting. My friends are posting on Facebook. This is what one gal I went to school with. So she's my age. I went to school with her. And she posted on Facebook. She said, "Is anyone else like me that they cried at the end of Big Bang Theory?" Well, I wrote, I says, "I've never watched it." You know, my 50th high school reunion is coming up, and I'm sure when I see her, the first thing she's going to say is, "What's wrong with you, Ed? You never watched Big Bang Theory?" Do you know what I think we ought to be weeping for instead of the end of a stupid TV show? I think we ought to be weeping over the reality that people who die without Jesus Christ go to an eternal hell. Your friends, your family, your kids, your parents, if they die without Jesus, if you're a biblical Christian, you believe this. If you don't believe this, you're not a biblical Christian. "He that believeth the Son hath eternal life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's Scripture. You know, our problem is we like to pick and choose Scripture. I think maybe I'm going to have to preach this sermon a third week. Enthusiasm for souls. Do we manifest that kind of desire and faithfulness to winning people to Jesus Christ? Do you know what? It's not your job to win them. You know what your job is? Huh? It's to tell them. That's all. Just to tell them, just like Bob told us this morning, what happened to him. Just like Jennifer told us this morning, what happened to her. If you can't tell people what happened to you, there's a problem. Now, you can come up with these side stories. "Well, I'm a good person." No, it's just not, that's not it. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Okay? "Well, I got baptized." That's great. You got your head wet. That's it. If you got baptized before you got saved, by the way, your baptism isn't any good. "Well, I was baptized when I was a baby." You remember it? Why did you get baptized? What was the purpose of it? Do you remember crying when they threw water in your face? I mean, that's probably the only thing that happened because it had nothing to do with your spiritual life. Nothing whatsoever. I'm telling you, if you can't give us your story, you need to be sure you've got your story straight. We need to get back to where we love people and not things. Then enthusiasm for the people of God. Did you get up this morning and say to yourself, "I can't wait to get to church"? Apparently not. "I can't wait to get around my brothers and sisters in Christ." He said, "Well, there's somebody up there I don't like." "Only one?" "That's it?" I had a lady tell me one time in church, she was getting ready to leave our church. And she said, "You know, there are three families in this church that don't like me." I said, "Only three?" "Honey, you're a long way ahead of me. I mean, out of 150 families in the church, she's only got three? How about the other 147 families? How do you feel about them?" Hey, listen, I'm not dumb. I know that not everybody gets along with everybody, but I do know something else too. I know we share a common bond, and that common bond is we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what the Bible says. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, do you know what that means? That means since you've been saved. Listen to it again. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. You know what that means? It means it's a passionate love. I can't wait to get around my brothers and sisters in Christ. I had a guy said, I just don't like being around Christians. Listen to this. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. You know, John, you're going to have to be more politically correct. That's all there is to it. Well, I'm sorry. This is what he said. I love God, says I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. If you don't like being around your Christian brothers and sisters, it says more about you than it does about them. Now I look over, you know, this group here today, and I can tell you something about you. I'm going to be straightforward with it. Okay, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You are an imperfect bunch. With a whole bunch of flaws. Now I'm gonna tell you something that's gonna shock you. Your pastor is an imperfect pastor. I'm an imperfect husband. I'm an imperfect father. I'm an imperfect man. But thank God for the grace of God. You know what? We need to get over ourselves. And remember that anything we are, every good gift, every perfect gift from above, comes down from the Father of lights. We are recipients of his grace. And then we need to have enthusiasm in our love for God. And then I'm going to quit. I've got two more points. I've preached one point in 2 weeks. but I could have preached. I could have preached it all in one Sunday. It would have just been kind of rough on you all because some of you are already sleeping. You know, I mean, either that or you know you are really contemplating with your eyes closed. Yeah. What is it? Meditating. I'm meditating. When you start snoring, it gives it away that you're not meditating. You're sleeping. Okay. So if you're gonna, you know, wear your CPAP to church, and that way you won't have your sleep apnea and give it all away that you are sleeping. Okay. So here's the deal. If I can put you to sleep on Sunday morning. When you got insomnia at night, take my tapes, listen to them, you'll go to sleep, right? Because apparently I'm a good cure for insomnia for some of you. And I'm only preaching the Word of God, so it doesn't really matter, right? Your love for God. Let me tell you something. G. Campbell Morgan, let me read his quotes. Great quote, and then I'm going to make my final statement. Scott's going to get up here and give you some announcements. We're going to sing a song. And then we'll have a brief business meeting or progress report, whatever you want to call it. British preacher G. Campbell Morgan, a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon, wrote, "The only cure for lukewarmness is the readmission of the excluded Christ." I'm going to stop for a moment and ask you this. How much interaction do you do with Jesus every day? How much interaction? Oh, I know you put on this holy look when you come in church on Sunday morning, but you know what? That's not the measure of your spiritual life. The measure of your spiritual life is what you do the other 6 days when you're out in the world. That's it, you know? Worship is not singing a song on Sunday morning. Worship is interacting with Jesus 7 days a week, and if you don't do it, you're not growing, period. It just doesn't work any other way. You don't grow 1 hour a week on Sunday morning. You might get your religious fix, but you're not growing spiritually through 1 hour a week on Sunday morning. Campbell goes on, apparently, apostasy must be confronted with his fidelity, looseness with conviction born in his authority, poverty with the fact of his wealth, frost with the mighty fire of his enthusiasm, and death with the life divine that is his gift. There is no other cure for the loneliness of heaven, the malady of this world, or for the lukewarmness of the church than the readmitted Christ. Within the next 18 months leading up to the 2020 election, you are going to hear some of the most ridiculous things you have ever heard in your life. It's coming now. And there's this guy out there who is a progressive candidate. I'm not going to tell you his name, but I've read his website. And what he's trying to do, he's got this alternative faith. Now remember, I told you, a biblical Christian has biblical values. Would you agree to that? Amen. So on his website, I'm reading, the thing that glares to me is that that he's pro-abortion. I'm sorry, I do not believe the Bible is pro-abortion. Can you give me one example of any woman in the Bible says, you know, this is an inconvenient pregnancy, I think I'll have an abortion? Don't you think if God was pro-abortion, he would have given us an example of that? Huh? Also, the idea, you know, of biblical marriage. And honestly, I don't, if somebody wants to do something else, that's fine. But don't call it marriage. Because God has defined it. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And a man would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now, wait a minute. He's established what a wife is because in the beginning, he made them male and female. Any other gender that's come along, man has made it up, not God. He made them male and female. Now, I say that to say this, if you embrace biblical beliefs, you are going to be painted as a radical. That's already in play, you know. And I'm not making an endorsement of any candidate, but if there's a candidate out there that says they're pro-life and pro-biblical marriage, and there are other candidates that says, I'm pro-choice and I'm against anything goes in marriage. Let's see. Pro-life, pro-death. Pro-biblical marriage, against biblical marriage. As a biblical Christian, what do I choose? The biblical values. But because you do that, here, listen. Because you do that, you listen. In the next 20 months, you will be painted as a radical. Now, I'm telling you this for this thing right now. Remember what I said about the family of God? Do you know your where is your primary support as a Christian? Right? Primary support's in your relationship with God, right? Now, along with that, you know Jesus, your Savior, but then you've got the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Okay? And you're right, Word of God. I'll go with that. But where is your lateral support? This little girl one night called her folks in, and she's scared and everything. And her mother says, honey, I've told you, you're okay. Jesus is with you. And she said, I know, but sometimes I need somebody with skin on. Do you know what? We provide for each other someone with skin on. See, when I look in the mirror in the morning and I think to myself, Are you just completely strange? And then I remember that I've got you guys to remind me that we're all strange as far as the world is concerned. And that's okay. You know what happened to the church of Laodicea? Why they pushed Jesus out of the fellowship? This is exactly it. Because other things, in fact, became more important to them than their daily relationship with Jesus Christ and his children. We have three weapons at our disposal. We have the word. We have prayer. Are you ready for this? We have love. We have we got the greatest resource to support all of those. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. Let's not push Jesus to the outside.